Thank you, Lord. God bless y'all for being here today. I appreciate it very much. Welcome to the new year here. We're starting off 2019. Good singing, good fellowship. I appreciate y'all. If you brought the Word of God with you this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Joshua. As of last week, I had mentioned to you that I'm going to spend a little time here in this book. The book of Joshua talks about the conquest of the promised land that God had promised to Abraham. And there's some great truth in here, things that could be applied today in our lives as well in the church into 2019. And I want us to learn from the way that Joshua led the people, to learn from their obedience and even from their disobedience. So the Word of God is very real when it comes down to painting people exactly as they are. God just tells it like it is here in the Word. So if you have your Bible turned open to Joshua chapter 1, follow with me, beginning with verse 10. I'm going to read quite a bit there to the end of the chapter. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan and go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it." I love that. "Which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising." I'm going to stop right there for a moment. Joshua, having been given very clear instructions about how to be successful and courageous, as what we read in the first few verses of this chapter, he now begins to instruct those folks who are there to listen and to learn. And the one word jumps out at us more than any other word here, and that is obedient. He continues to tell them that if you will be obedient, God will bless you. If you are disobedient, God will be forced to judge you. If you follow clear instructions, you will be prosperous. If you do what God tells you to do, you will be successful. If you object to that and you do not do what God tells you to do, then you're going to be a failure. Boy, that's about as clear as it gets, doesn't it? When it comes down to today, that dog will hunt, that message will preach. That's good stuff. So what he tells them basically is everywhere you put your foot down, God's not going to give that to you. That's yours. Belongs to you, everywhere, but you won't get it unless you do it my way, is what God says, and I still think that that's true. And then he gave them final words: be strong, be courageous, you know, be of good courage, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, don't be frustrated, don't be overcome, just follow what I gave you as instruction, and I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Now, I don't know about you today, but folks, I think the church needs to hear that on a regular basis. You do what God told you, do what I told you to do, God said. You do it to the best of your ability, and know this, you'll not do that by yourself. You will not walk alone by yourself. So as the scripture says, he gathers up the officers of the people there, and he tells them in verse 11, get ready to pass through the host. Okay, get ready, command the people. Prepare you some food, because within 3 days, and I love this phrase, ye shall pass over this Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So he's very clear, simple as that. Go through the host, prepare some food, get ready to pass over, going to happen, into the promised land. That's the land which the Lord God gave you. And what I love about this is God didn't say, well, maybe we'll get through that. Maybe it won't be too high when we get there to cross over. Or, well, if everything works out just right, it's not maybe, but not if, but you shall. And God can back that up. He can make that happen, and he's going to make that happen. And I think that there are promises in the Word of God that are awesome that we, you and I, can hold on to. God gave them this promise. And then, you know, they're going to do this. Then he informs the Gadites and the Reubenites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He tells them very seriously. He says, the Lord your God hath given you rest. Simple as that. And he's given you this land. And your wives and your little ones and your cattle are going to remain there in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. What he's talking about is the east side of the Jordan. If you go back and read it a little closer, God gave those three tribes the land on the eastern side of the Jordan. The promised land would be the crossing over the Jordan into the western side there. So those three tribes there are going there. They have been in the land that God had given them. They're enjoying themselves, but that Moses had told them, you're going to help your brothers secure their place and the land that I promised them. You'll be there to help them make that happen. So how long are they going to serve? Until it's done. Until they have accomplished that which God set aside for them to accomplish. Now, so until you have, you know, possessed the land which the Lord God gave you, you know, verse 15. And then when that process takes place and everything is settled out there in the land that God promised them, you're already in the land God promised you, then you can go back and you can enjoy the land that God gave you. Do you enjoy what God has given you? Excuse me. I think that's a fair question. Sometimes we get so caught up with what we don't have and what didn't go our way and what we wish we had and what we might have could have had and maybe and if, that we don't enjoy the things that God has already given to us. And we have said it before and we'll say it again. Just look around a little bit, folks. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. And I have shared with you before, and you'll hear it a lot in 2019, because I'm absolutely satisfied that it will be the mentality that changes everything for you and I individually, and it can change it for us corporately. These are not things that I have to do. These are things that I get to do. And that in order to change the way we do, we have to change the way we think. I want us to see things in 2019 not as problems, but as opportunities. This group of people right now are getting ready to do something that no group of people that God promised this land to, no group of people in 600 to 700 years has not had this privilege. This is the generation. They're standing on the edge of what had been promised hundreds of years prior. They're at a crossroad, basically. Because you see, the bottom line is, excuse me, the bottom line is they don't have to do this. They don't have to take that land. They don't have to make that next step. They don't have to do any of it. But if they don't, the bottom line is that they live in disobedience and they lose the blessing that God had intended for them. Oh, boy. Does that, excuse me. I'm beginning to think, Brother Mark, that something really good's going to happen here today and the devil just don't want it to happen. Amen. Y'all ever felt like that? And that's why we have water up here. Because the last time I checked, the devil has no authority over you and I. Anything that he can do to me has to come through the permissive will of God. And Satan, you're not welcome here, so you just need to leave. You have no authority here. These are God's people, and he's going to protect them. And even if I can't speak, something good's still going to happen. You see, that's what I'm looking forward to. I resolve to see 2019 as 12 months of opportunity. Not 12 months worth of problems. 12 months worth of I get to, not 12 months worth of I have to. Because I believe that God is just standing on, waiting with open arms to do something magnificent in our lives personally and magnificent in our lives corporately as the church. These folks are standing on the edge of something that nobody ever got to do. And that's to possess the promised land that God promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Now, I've had some first-time things happen in my life, and they've been pretty spectacular. And a few of them, I've shared a few of them with you. But on my bucket list for a long time was to get a chance to ride in a race car. That's going to sound shallow. But to some folks, it is. But when you're strapped in one of them roaring monsters and you're doing 165 miles an hour around Daytona Speedway and you're not driving, you're riding, let me tell you something, folks, that's unforgettable. Three laps did not take very long. But it was unforgettable. On a spiritual level, the night I got on my hands and knees beside my bed and gave my life to Jesus after a long fight, it's unforgettable. Can't tell you the date. Guarantee you that it happened. You see, these folks have that chance. And Joshua, who took over from Moses, simply said, okay, guys, get ready. Prepare some food. Get ready to get in line. Because you're about to do something that you've never done before. You're about to go a place that you've never been before. God's about to open a door that he's never opened before for anybody. And you're going to get to do it. You're standing on at the crossroads of a major event in your life. They were given their marching orders. Joshua couldn't have been any clearer. He just said, here's what's expected of you guys, and this is what I need for you to do. You get your wives and your children ready and your cattle, and you're going to get ready to do something that you've never done before. You've never been here before. You see, that's what I think about church life in 2019. We're going to go places we've never been before. We're going to do things we've never done before. We're going to have privileges and opportunities that we haven't dreamed of. And I want us to go there excited. I want us to get ready. I believe that these folks were ready for a change. You see, what could have been accomplished in 18 months now took 40 years. 40 years. And I believe they're ready. And I believe this about you and I. I believe that change is a result of wanting it. I believe growth is a product of a desire to grow. A reality that says, you know what? I've had these experiences, but I want something more. I'm ready for more. I'm ready for the next step. God, where are you going to take us? What do you want us to do? How do you want us to get there? Joshua was very clear about those three tribes. He told them how it was going to be. And they were parked at a crossroads. With 40 years of wilderness wanderings behind them, loaded down with detours and dead ends and problems and issues that they didn't see as opportunities, they were there and they were finally ready to receive this land. And I believe that often we kind of march away from God until we find ourselves miserable and out of options before we actually give him a chance. These folks had done everything except the right thing. Moses had fought with them, and he'd even fought with God about how to treat them and how to take care of them, and they had done what they wanted to do, and they had wound up in misery. And now they had this privilege and this opportunity. We'd be careful not to walk away from God, because it's not a good place to be. God had promised victory. God had promised success. God had promised prosperity. And if they would just obey God, that would happen in their life. That don't sound like rocket science, does it? It doesn't sound that difficult. God said it, we do it, and we get blessed. How hard is that? Well, it's pretty hard. You know why? Because we're people, and we're not God. Because sin is difficult. Sin causes us to make poor choices. But God already promised this, and God doesn't go back on his promises. God's not an Indian giver, so to speak. He promises it, and he will do that. So they were told that until the Lord's given their brethren that land where they can go and possess it, they got to do that. Verse 16, this is their response. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Wow. Wouldn't you like to be a part of that group? Wherever you send us, we'll go. Whatever you tell us to do, we'll do. I ain't never worked for anybody and did that. Have you gone everywhere you've been told to go? Have you done everything you've been told to do? Let me just step off the deep end. If you're married, that's absolutely no. Thank you. God bless you. Hey, George, I didn't see you hiding back there, brother. God bless you, man. They may be sending spies in here. I don't know what the deal is. Thank you for being with us, Angel, you and Emo as well. I appreciate you. So the issue is going to be, what are they going to choose? Got clear instructions. Here's what I want you to do. This is my expectation for you. So now they have a chance to choose. So God always gives us an option, doesn't he? For freedom to choose, freedom to obey or disobey, to run or to follow him, for freedom or for being bound up. And they answered Joshua, and I love this. Don't take that little phrase that they answered him lightly. When I first read it, I thought, okay, that's easy to say. We'll go where you want us to go. We'll do what you want us to do. That's easy to say. That's lip service. But they answered Joshua, and I found some gold in here that I didn't see before. You see, they made a choice, and they were listening to Joshua. They paid attention when he spoke. They were given their options. We don't always do that, do we? They made a choice based on information and instruction. They didn't have a wild choice. They didn't have an uninformed choice. They didn't make a choice because they maybe have wanted to or didn't want to. They didn't make a choice based on their opinion or on their attitude. They made a choice based on clear instruction, and they made a choice based on good information. And they were very serious about their choice. And we'll see that in just a few minutes. They meant what they said. They're not going to tolerate anybody that opposed that choice. So they agreed to two very important factors that I find incredible and important in obedience. All that you command us, we're going to do. Whithersoever you send us, we're going to go. So obedience then has two major factors, doing and going. Still isn't complicated, is it? God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do. Not complicated. Simple as that. They told Joshua, according as we had hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto you. That's the first part of verse 17. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto you. We listened to Moses, so we're going to listen to you. Moses did great things among us. They didn't always treat him right. They didn't always follow his instructions. They're trying to get Joshua to believe that they listened to every single thing that Moses said to them, and that they did every single thing that Moses told them to do. That wasn't true. But they told Joshua, we'll listen to you. We'll follow your instructions. Just like we followed the instructions of Moses, we want you to know that we're willing to do this. We're prepared to do this. We're right on the edge of crossing over. We're right on the edge of an opportunity and a privilege that nobody else has ever had. We are ready to do this. Just say the word and give us instruction. I like that. But then they said, but we'd like to know something. We'd like to know that the Lord your God is going to be with you like he was with Moses. To be quite honest with you, I didn't think a great deal about that until I began to study it a little bit more. And it came out like this. If we're going to follow you, Joshua, as our leader, we need to know that you're following God just like Moses did. And when you look at it like that, folks, that's a fair question. Are you following God like Moses followed God? Should we get in line behind your leadership? Because we need to know, are you God's man for the job? Are you doing what God's telling you to do? Are you leading us where God's telling you to lead us? Can we really get behind you and support you in your leadership? Because you won't have a problem going, and we don't have a problem doing, but we need to make sure that you're doing what God told you to do in the way that you're leading us. That's a fair concern. Every leader, whether it's pastor or deacon or a member of a church, everybody in a leadership position who has that privilege and that responsibility should say to you very, very honestly and very humbly, yes, I want you to follow me because I'm following God. You deserve that. It's expected, and leaders should get to that place. Whatever Moses said and did was still very important to Joshua. Whatever Moses said and did is still very important to the people. Because here's something that's interesting. Did you know that Moses is mentioned 57 times in the book of Joshua? And he's dead before Joshua ever took over. Moses is dead. Leadership had changed. Everything had changed. But yet, Moses was such a huge figure in the life of the Hebrew people. And God did such amazing work through Moses because he was committed to God. And he desired to lead the people according to the way God wanted them to be led. Excuse me, not so much the way Moses wanted them to be led. So the people had not forgotten Moses. Excuse me, and they needed to know. Can we follow you like we did him? Because you're following God. Folks, there's gold right there. There's gold right there. I believe that God has always established leaders to fulfill his plan. And he brings success when we follow his plan. This is his plan. And I'd go far enough to say any time my plan could not be found here, then it's not his plan, it's my plan. And we need to be careful. And I commit to you that I will try my very, very best to never lead you somewhere that wouldn't be God's plan for us to go. And I believe there's a time in every ministry when God calls new leadership and he calls people for new purposes and he calls people in new directions and he calls people in new generations under new leadership. God buries his workmen, but he does not bury his work. I believe he brings leaders for purposes that sometimes we don't even know about. I want to be personal with you today. Over the years, I've personally seen a lot of churches and parachurch ministries flounder and almost destroy themselves simply because they wanted to embalm the past and escape the future. Now, please hear my heart. I think we can learn a lot from where we've been and what we've done and where we're going. And by no means should that be given away. But I also believe that God wants you and I to keep our eyes open and our obedience in the right place, and our desires in the right place. I've often heard those who refuse to change even a little bit, their theme song is, "We Shall Not Be Moved." Or there's another song that says, "As it was in the beginning, so shall it ever be, world without end." And brothers and sisters, let me be real with you just a minute. I've prayed with and I've prayed for some very godly Christian leaders who were criticized and persecuted and attacked simply because, like Joshua, they had a divine commission from the Lord to lead a ministry in places that they have never been before. And I say that simply to say, wise leaders don't throw away that which works. They don't abandon the past, but they build on it. They don't throw away that which is not broke. You don't fix that which is not broke. And I believe with all my heart that if people will follow, God will take us to places that we have never been. If we will follow Him, if we will obey Him, if we will line ourselves up and get ready for God to take us places that we've never been before in our life, and that we will see that as privilege and opportunity, God will do something in this church that maybe He's never ever done before in our history. You say, well, Brother Kenny, that's kind of scary to think about. Yeah. Do you suppose these folks standing beside this river were standing there in perfect peace? Don't you think maybe they were just a little bit anxious because they're about ready to do something they've never, ever done before? They're going to go in and possess the promised land that God has given them. Do you think there's a little anxiety in that group? Do you think maybe they're probably concerned, can we do this the right way? Should we do this way? How should we do that? And how should we do this? And Joshua's learned from Moses a lot. And I believe that there was continuity there from one leader to the next, but I don't believe there was conformity there. I don't believe that Joshua led exactly like Moses. Joshua didn't lead exactly the same people that Moses led, because most of them died in the wilderness on the way to the promised land. This was a whole nother group of people. Children from those who just decided that we're not going to go there, and we're not going to do this, and we're not going to listen. And folks that died. I believe that the message was much the same from Joshua to Moses. Be obedient. Follow God. Do like you're told. Go where you're sent. Do what you're instructed. You will be successful. If you don't do that, you won't be successful. I think the message was exactly the same, but I think the method had to be different because this was a different group of people. And sometimes I believe that we need to learn to grow. Because life on the other side of the Jordan River, it wasn't going to be anything like wandering around in the wilderness. There would be battles. Lives would be lost. There would be obedience, and great success would happen. And the walls of Jericho would fall down. And we'll talk about that in a week or so. God would allow small armies of His people to overcome larger armies of those who stood against Him. They would be successful in places they should not have been successful on a human level, because God was there fighting with them to do what needed to be done. Life across the Jordan would be so very, very different than life in the wandering. They went from wandering to warring. They went from complaining to conquest. The objective was different, so the method became slightly different as well. And Joshua would follow God, and Joshua would take his lead from God, and Joshua would lean on what he learned from Moses. And what was appropriate would be used, and what was inappropriate would not be used. But Joshua needed to be before the Lord on a regular basis and simply say, where do you want me to take these folks? How do you want me to lead these people? And he would pray to the Lord for guidance, and he would pray for wisdom, and he would pray for discernment. And together they would be successful, and separated they would fail. And I'm satisfied, brothers and sisters, that that's how it works today as well. That in God's church, we need to be unified more than anything else. We need to love each other like we love the Lord. We need to be prepared to make the next step, whatever that step is. Don't think for a minute that it was without issue. Don't think that everything was smooth and easy. Just because God had promised them this land, they had to go in and fight for it. They had to go rescue and do the things that were necessary for this to happen. And they were willing to follow Joshua if Joshua would just tell them, I'm following God. I'm doing what God said. Now, here's an absolutely wonderful quote that I got out of one of the commentaries. I wanted to share this with you. This was not an unreasonable stipulation by those folks as it related to Joshua. For no man or woman has a right to demand a following in the spiritual realm if there's no evidence at all of the presence of God in that person's life. Folks, that is gold. Nobody should feel like they need to follow somebody who's trying to lead them in spiritual way if there's absolutely no presence of God actively happening in that person's life. How serious were these people? Oh, they're very serious. They're very serious. Look at verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, get this, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. That didn't come from Joshua. That came from the people. They said, we're ready to follow you. We just need to know that you're following God. And if you're following God, then we're following you. And everybody wins. But we have to know that. And here's the deal. We're not going to stand by and watch people object to this process so that it damages the future of this people as a whole. We will deal with those who are difficult. We will deal with those who object to the commandments. We're not going to put up with it. We're not going to hearken, you know, to anybody that doesn't hearken to you. We won't listen to anybody that don't listen to you because God placed you here for our leadership. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to follow you. And folks, I'm so glad that I wasn't in that group. Because if they gave Joshua a hard way to go, they were put to death. That's harsh, isn't it? Yeah. How would you like to have that enacted in the Baptist Church in 2019? If you don't listen to the preacher, we're going to kill you. Guess what? Not going to happen. Okay? You're safe here. All right? I don't kill nobody. But I'm just saying that that was how serious they were about getting it right. They were at that crossroads. They had wandered around mercilessly for a long time. And they were miserable in their current condition spiritually. So let me get real for just a second. How about you? Are you miserable in your existing condition? Are you all around God, but you don't know Him? Are you all over the church, but it's just a place to come to? And I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just simply saying that everything you're looking for in your membership has to do with being where you're supposed to be and doing what you're supposed to be doing while you're there. Am I looking forward to growing in the Lord Jesus? Do I want 2019 to be a banner year in my spiritual life? Do I want to grow leaps and bounds in my spiritual life in 2019? Or are we just going to rehearse how it's been for the last 15, 20 years? Folks, listen, it's up to you and I. Do we want something from God? Are we expecting something from God? Do we come here and expect to receive something from God? While we listen to the singing and we listen to the praying and we listen to the teaching and we listen to the preaching, do we come here with a bucket that's got the top off where we're ready to receive something from God, or is this just a ritual that we go through? Did you come here expecting to leave with something that the Holy Spirit made real in your life? Did God's word, is it spoken? And then did the Spirit of God make it real? I think that's what these people are saying. We're right here at the crossroads. We are ready to go. You lead us. But you make sure that God's leading you. And if He's leading you, we'll follow. And we won't put up with detractors from that destination. I totally expect to be accountable to you on a regular basis. And I want to lead in a direction that I believe God will honor. But I'd be lying through my teeth if I said that might not require some change. We may have to do a few things different. We may have to enhance some things that are not broken. They just need some enhancement. We might need to just hold on to some stuff that's absolutely not broken at any place and support that with every ounce of our being. I'm not naive, folks. Satan does not want anything good to happen here. And if he has to mess with the preacher, or he has to mess with the sound system, or he has to mess with the song service, I guarantee you, he's not above it. What you and I need to do is to get above that and simply say, you have no power here. You have no authority here. You cannot stop our worship. God has brought us to this place, and we are going to follow him. That's what I want for us in 2019. Pack your bags. Grab your biscuits, folks. We're fixing to cross the river. That's called 2019. Are you ready? Do you want it? Are you geared up? Is there anticipation there? Can we do this? Should we do this? Will we do this? Yet to be seen. But God's already promised. Do like I say, it'll be successful. I want to be successful. How about you? That success starts with knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Have you made that choice? Do you know him? Would you give him your life today? Make him your God? Have somebody to follow that you can trust? Maybe you need to join his church. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you just need altar time. I'm not the Spirit of God. I don't know what you need exactly, but he does. Would you obey today and do like he tells you? It's the way of success. Stand with me as we pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, we learn so much from guys like Joshua. We learn so much that when people finally get tired of being like they are, Lord, they're ready to make a change. And I just pray, Father, that for somebody ready right now today, right here, to step out of the pew and to come down here and grab me by the hand and simply say, Brother Kenny, I am lost as yesterday, and I need to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. That's the first place to start. Maybe there's some people that are just broken and hurting here today. They need to come spend some time at the altar. Maybe folks need to join this church. Lord, you know. I don't know. So be real in their life today, Father. This invitation is yours, and it's always yours. To your glory, Lord, and to our growth, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?